Father in heaven, we thank you for your word to us in the scriptures. We pray that now, through what I say, you will be pleased to speak, and by your Spirit, that you would apply the message of your word to each of our hearts. And this we ask for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not fair. It really isn't fair. Life, I mean. Some folks seem to sail through with never a hitch, no problems to speak of, and comforts aplenty. And yet others seem to get a really raw deal. For some, hopes and plans are dashed and frustrated. Or maybe illness dogs their steps. Children disappoint. Life at work is tough. People at home are hard to live with. And there's no apparent rhyme or reason to it. Often, it seems, to our eyes anyway, that it's the best folk who get the toughest life. If we are Christians, if we have genuine faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we soon discover that faith in God is no passport to freedom from life's ills. If ever there was a man who might have expected to escape over much trouble in life, it was David, King David, whose words we read in our first lesson. Here is a man who has done great things for God. Do you remember the incident with Goliath? Here is a man who'd not chosen himself for high office, who'd not himself aspired to be the king. No, he had been called by God from his work as a shepherd to be the leader of the nation. Furthermore, he had been promised that God would be with him. And what do we find? Well, here in Psalm 3, we find a man crying to God in the midst of great trouble and danger. Here is a good man, a godly man, a man doing God's will, but still meeting trouble. And that's the first thing that I want to impress upon all of us this morning here in Knutsford Church. If life is, for whatever reason, hard for you at the moment, that does not mean that you are specially bad, nor does it mean that God has forgotten you and abandoned you. To put that another way, looking at it from a quite different perspective. To be a Christian, to be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not an insurance policy against trouble. If, on the other hand, at the moment, for you and your family, life is good, then we can learn much here that will help us as we seek to care for those who are going through it in life and if and when trouble comes our own way. Oh yes, it's true that our issues, whatever they are, may not be as serious as David's were. But nevertheless, our issues are real issues. So if you've got a Bible in front of you, would you look with me, please, page 544, at Psalm 3, and first of all, at the heading. A Psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. You see, this was written at a time when there was political and military trouble. There was bitter opposition to David as the king. He had been forced to flee. And as if that wasn't bad enough, the leader of those opposing him, seeking to get him out of the way, was his own son, Absalom. You can read Absalom's story in the middle of second book of Samuel. Absalom was handsome and popular with the people. And Absalom stirred things up, putting about the message that he would be a much, much better ruler than his father. And he secured a big following. And so it is that David, God's anointed, David, the shepherd boy who had been raised up by the Lord himself to be the leader of the nation, the king sent by God, is fleeing, pursued by his own son. Now that doesn't seem right, does it? That doesn't seem fair at all. What do you do when things get tough? What do I do? When the going's hard and everything seems against us. When problems persist, maybe month in, month out, even year in, year out. Such circumstances bring us to a kind of crossroads. They can either make us bitter Christians, or they can make us better Christians. It depends how we react to the circumstances which God has permitted us to be brought into. It's so easy to give up on God when life's difficult. It's so easy to turn completely inward, to become self-pity. It's so easy to fail to look up and see what is good around us, because we're so preoccupied with our own troubles. Yet here in Psalm 3, we see that David was remarkably secure and composed despite what was going on all around him. He was secure in the living God. The Lord was a living reality to him. The Lord was for him, as he had been to Abraham, his friend. Now, isn't that astonishing? Here's a man going through the mill, and yet he continues to grasp firmly to the living God, who he believes is ever faithful. This psalm is a prayer from David's heart, And it's an honest prayer. It doesn't pretend that the trouble isn't there. You see, he doesn't have a life here and then a little bit of spiritual life there. He doesn't shut off what is happening in his personal experience in his dealings with the living God. He believes that the Lord is sovereign and that the Lord knows. He believes that though he can't fully comprehend all that's going on, somehow, somewhere, God is in it, and God is using it to further his purposes and to bless his servant. Listen to this. Verse 1. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. David knows the strength of the opposition and he tells God. This is the prayer of a man who knows God. It's not just turning to God in a moment of panic. This is the prayer of one who has had a relationship with the Lord down many years and does not believe that that relationship has suddenly been broken because he is in difficult circumstances. David addresses God as his friend, his intimate, and yet at the same time as the one to whom he owed allegiance. I wonder if you've got your Bible open, if you noticed that the word Lord is in capital letters. Why? Because whenever it occurs like that, it is referring to the Lord's personal name. Yahweh, Jehovah. Today, we tend to use Christian names really rather casually. Don't know about you, but I get a bit miffed when people call me by my Christian name over the phone, and I've never met them before, and I'm never likely to. It used to be the case in the good old days, that one always spoke in terms of Mr. So-and-so and Miss So-and-so until given permission to use the Christian name. And that permission was the sign of a relationship beginning to be established. But here David uses God's personal name. And he tells God about his condition. And he's obviously aware that others were saying that he, David, was done for. There was no help for him in man or in God. David lays his case before God. When we're in trouble, we need to lay our problems before the Lord. We need to recognize that he knows. We need to recognize that he cares, even though it's hard in the immediate circumstances of difficulty to see that. We need to recognize that we finite men and women can only just see part of the picture. The living God can see the whole scenario. And he knows what he's doing. So, if we look at verse 3, we find David saying this, but, you are a shield around me, O God. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I wonder if you see what's happening there. David is appealing not only to what he's been told about God, God's like this, not only to what he'd maybe read about God, but also to his own past experience of God. He answers me, and that word is what we call a continuous word. He goes on answering me. He answers me from his holy hill. And his reasoning is this: the God who was with me yesterday, the God who cared for me in those difficult situations I've been in the past, he has not changed one whit. That same Lord is with me now and knows all about my current circumstances. The God who answered my prayers yesterday will answer my prayers again. But he says something else important about how he sees the Lord. He calls him, verse 3, a shield around me. When I was preparing the sermon, I was thinking particularly, like St. Paul does in one of his letters, about the shield which quenches the fiery darts. The arrows coming towards us in time of battle. Arrows that had flames on them, designed to burn. David may have been talking about that. He may have had that picture in his mind of the shield that stopped the arrows and quenched the fire. For often our troubles are like that, fiery arrows, and they come quickly, unexpectedly, and menacingly. As believers, we have a God who is a shield to protect us from the harm these troubles could do. And we need to trust him. But notice it says, you are a shield around me. The Lord God is one who gives over all over protection. David was the king. And yet, if he had honour, if he had position, if he had power, it was because God had given it to him. More than that, he is the king anointed by God. It is the Lord who's raised him from keeping the sheep to being the king. And what does he say, verse 3? He, God, lifts up my head. David had known in past times when he called on God, God heard. And David looks back and reinforces his faith now with the remembrance of God's faithfulness to him in the past. Can I plead with those of you who are having a wonderful life at the moment, for whom everything is going swimmingly? Savor the goodness of God to you at the moment and remember it when the times of difficulty come. And remember that the God who is with you now will still be with you when you go through the difficult times. When we go through it, we need to remember, as David did, God's goodness to us in times past. And we need to remember that God made us what we are. God put us where we are, and He is faithful. Do you believe that? Are we prepared to accept that God knows all, that He is working out His purposes, and that He is concerned for us as individuals, even in the dark and difficult times of life? You see, those kind of considerations lead David to confidence in the midst of his problems. Verse 5, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. I'm not quite sure how I would feel if there were tens of thousands after me. And I don't know about you, but when I've got problems, I have trouble sleeping. And David tells us that because his hope and trust are in God, he sleeps. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. He sleeps well. God sustains him. In our second reading, we heard Jesus teaching about worry. And he tells us this: when we're concerned about this, that, or the other, your Heavenly Father knows. Our Heavenly Father knows us. He knows our situations, our needs, our pressures. And He will sustain us whatever the odds, and we need to trust in Him. David knew that there were many ranged against him. It was a terrible situation, humanly speaking. Tens of thousands against him, but he trusted God. David's security was in the living God. His calmness was a testimony to his faith. And so he prays a prayer for his own deliverance and a prayer for God's blessing on his people. Verse 7. Arise, O Lord. Do you notice capitals again? Deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. If there is to be deliverance, he knows that ultimately it will come from the Lord. It must do. For humanly speaking, David's in deep, deep trouble. But with the cry for God to rescue him from his own situation, there is a remarkable generosity of spirit to other people. And probably that includes the very people who were opposing him. He wants them to know God's blessing. Life's not fair. And we don't know all the answers. And we will sometimes agonize over things that are happening in our own lives or in the world around us. And we will often find ourselves saying, why, oh why, does God permit this? Why, oh why, does God not alleviate this situation? Where is the intervention of the living God? Why? we are those, if we have faith in the Lord Jesus, who are called upon to reach out in faith and trust to the living God, even in the most trying circumstances of life. What did our Master do when he was faced with hatred, with opposition, with torture, with execution? When he was faced with taking on himself the penalty for the sins of men and women, he trusted in his heavenly Father. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what David did. That's what we must do also.